Testing.
Good morning, Discovery Community Church. How's everyone doing? Yeah, I love it. All right, we're going to get started with worship. I want to share a little bit with you guys. Great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still. sinners. We have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ. Our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son. While we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. And I just want to encourage us to practice that rejoicing right now, to take our weeks, to take the moments that maybe we're holding on to right now of like, oh, life is hard and it's not very fun. And just instead shift that to rejoice and praise and to be grateful for the new life that God's given us. And not just this new life, but the new life ahead of us. So let's sing.
morning. Have a seat, everybody. Take a load off. Welcome. You guys are making through this COVID thing, aren't you? We're going to do it, aren't we? Man, I'm telling you what, you got to be more excited. We're going to make it through this, all right, together? Yeah, we're gonna kill this thing, literally. We're doing it. So, hey, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Welcome to Discovery. I am John, and we're going to have a great day. This is a family worship service, so you see some kids in here with us. Kids, thanks for being here. We want you to have fun a little bit. We're going to sing some songs together. We're going to have the Lord's Supper together. And then after that, you guys will be able to get to go join and with the other kids back into the kids' stuff. So if there's any questions about that, I think, is there somebody out there? Well, Lisa's right there. She could certainly point you in the right direction when it's time if you have any questions. But after the time of worship and Lord's Supper, kids, you're more than welcome to go there. Parents, if you want them to stay the whole time, you're more than welcome to have them stay. So, hey, a couple things, not just a couple, a few things. We have a few things going on I just want to remind you of. So, and everybody, say hi to live stream. Can you guys just turn around and just wave at the camera and say, hey, live stream. So we have people that are home today because of all sorts of things and are joining us here in worship, and we want you to know that our hearts are with you, and we are glad that you are worshiping with us this morning, and great stuff is happening. So a few things. Number one, this is the last day we're going to push it for now, but we really want to encourage you to jump in a small group. In fact, we want to encourage you so much that there is a fantastic macaroon for anybody who stops by the groups table. So my wife and I stayed up and, just kidding, not at all. So Tracy was so irritated. She said, John, we put together those goofy books with the tape on it. And Bobby keeps coming with fantastic gifts. So this is put together by our own Mercedes. Mercedes is right here. She is. And so if you'd like to have one of these sample macaroons, stop by the groups table. While you're getting the macaroon, they're going to talk to you about groups, okay? So we're unashamedly bribing you, all right? So take a minute, stop by that. A couple other things. Next week, we are kicking off a brand new series called Identity. We're going to still be in the book of 1 John, but we're going to talk about who we are in Christ and finding our identity. There's a lot of talk about what our identity is, so we're going to spend a month talking about that. Let's see what else that we need to let you know is that, today we have a welcome reception. So if any of you, this is your first time here, or if you haven't had a chance to meet right after the service is over, instead of going out the way that you came, if you would go out these doors, there's some chairs and there's some snacks. In fact, if some of you just want snacks and want to come in and hang out with me, and you've been here a billion times, you're more than welcome to do that too. So we'd love for you to come and hang out for our welcome reception. And I think, is that most of it? Oh, the last thing. I hope that you're in God's Word every day. And so we as a church are walking through 30 days in God's Word. It's called The Story of God. And I mentioned a minute ago that my wife and I put stickers and tape on all those composition notebooks. Listen, here's what my experience is. When people make new commitments and get in God's Word, about 2 weeks in, you start to flounder a bit. Don't say amen. You just kind of quietly nod. So I just want you to know it's normal, and today is a new day. And I want to encourage you to step into the mercies of God. They're new every morning. And I want to encourage you to jump back in. Here's how you do it. Just go to the website, discochurch.com, and there's a banner that says, join us in 30 days in God's Word. And to be honest, it doesn't matter if you've missed a day or two or three. I had an old pastor said to me once, he said, John, you know, I've noticed something about myself. He said, occasionally, I miss a meal. Occasionally, I get so busy, and I forget to even eat lunch. He lost me there, but, and then he said, but you know what, even when I miss a meal, and I realize it, I don't give up on eating. And it's the same truth about God's Word. You may have missed a day. You may have missed a week. You may have missed 10 years being in God's Word. Don't give up. Jump back in. Amen? Okay. Hey, we're going to have a child dedication. It's one of our favorite things to do. So I want to invite Ronan. And is Ronan here? Ronan's getting water. So we're going to still invite Ronan up. He may take a couple of minutes to make his way. Is he close to getting water? Is he coming? Ronan, are you right there, man? All right, so Ronan, come on up. And Dallas, come on up. And Christina, are you going to join us? You up to it? Yeah. So everybody give a round of applause to these guys as they're making their way up. So, So one of the things that we love doing is we love having child dedications. And by the way, if you would like to do a child dedication, we have another one scheduled in May, but we will do it anytime. So if you want to dedicate your little one, you just let me know and we will get that scheduled. So look at Ronan. Isn't he a handsome young man? Come on up here a little closer, guys. Hi. You kind of remember me, don't you? Yeah. So this is Dallas, and this is Christina. And some of you might remember that one of our very first weeks here in Lincoln in September, Christina was baptized. And so God's been doing some amazing things in their family. And Ronan is a pretty amazing young guy. Isn't that true? Yeah, absolutely. And so, guys, here's a little secret that I'm going to let out, is that when we do child dedications, it's really less for Ronan and it's more for you. And it's more for the church. And so I'm going to explain a couple things and I'm going to share some things with you. And then I'm going to ask that you make a commitment. So dedicating our little ones is something that we find woven all through Scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, we have these pictures of people dedicating their little ones, like Samuel, who's dedicated in the temple, or Jesus, who is dedicated and named formally at 8 years old in the temple. So we have these pictures of parents who recognize. I mean, you guys recognize that, you know, Ronan is a gift, not as some sort of special reward for good behavior, but as an incredible responsibility to walk alongside him. And I know you're already seeing that it's an incredible responsibility to help Ronan not only know how to obey basic rules in the house and brush your teeth. Ronan, do you brush your teeth a little bit? Yeah. But it's all of a sudden, as a parent, you start thinking, man, I love this young man, and I want him to fall in love with Jesus. And so the Bible gives us some instruction as parents. Let me read to you this from the book of Deuteronomy. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." And then it says, "Impress them on their children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." So I love this when we talk about child dedications, because it's a reminder, first, of the greatest commandment to love the Lord our God. The best thing that you guys can do for Ronan is yourself walk with Jesus. So you know that you can sit all day long and you can tell Ronan to do something, but it's amazing the things that he picks up, the things maybe you don't even want him to pick up. So, you know, I've heard my child run in the room and say something, and everyone's like, "Oh," I'm like, "That's from Dad," right? There's things that he is gonna catch something far before he learns it by being taught audibly. Does that make sense? So we as a church want to encourage both of you to pursue Jesus first, and then he will catch it watching you, watching how you navigate the highs and how you navigate the lows, watching when it's easy to have faith and when it's hard to have faith. So we as a church want to encourage you to keep your relationship with God, number one. The second, we as a church want to encourage you to love each other. We think that little people like Ronan watch how mom and dad live love. And we want to encourage you to love each other deeply. So I think these are things that you're passionate about, and we as a church want to stand beside you. So we're going to ask you to make a formal commitment, and then I'm going to ask them to make a commitment, and then we're going to pray over you guys. Does that sound okay? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read this, and if you're in, I'm going to ask you, just like at a wedding ceremony, to say, "We do." "So that Ronan may walk in the abundant life that Jesus offers, do you vow by God's help and in partnership with the church to provide a Christian home of love and peace, and to raise Ronan in the truth of our Lord's instruction and discipline, and to encourage him to one day trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? If so, would you say, 'We do'?" Awesome. Okay, so I've mentioned a couple times, church, that they're not alone. So we think that it is an incredible privilege to walk with families and to walk with Ronan. So if you're willing to stand with this family, church, would you stand up? And I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to this family and to Ronan, all right? So church, so that Ronan may walk in the abundant life that Jesus offers, do you vow by God's help to be faithful in your calling as members of the body of Christ and to help these parents be faithful to God and to help teach and train Ronan in the ways of the Lord so that he may one day trust him as Savior and Lord? If you accept this responsibility, please respond by saying, we do. Hey, Dallas and Christina, I just want to say that it has been such a joy to get to know you, and I look forward to getting to do life with you. And your church is privileged to do life with you. And so we are in it with them. Amen? Amen. So we want to pray right now for you, and then we want to pray for Ronan, okay? Ronan, you okay with that? Ronan, you're doing awesome. Usually little guys just start crying about halfway through, and so you're so awesome. Let's all pray. Would you join me in prayer, church? Jesus, thank you so much for Dallas and Christina. I thank you so much for what you're doing in their lives. We ask in Jesus' name that you continue to draw them close to you and close to one another. God, I pray that Ronan would be able to watch faith alive. They'd be able to watch mom and dad walk through difficult stuff and walk through incredibly beautiful things. And he would be able to watch you and experience you, Jesus. I want to pray specifically for Ronan right now, that you would grow this young man up to one day trust you as Savior and Lord. I pray that Ronan would be a powerful man of God, that he would live a life that's righteous and would spend his life devoted to your mission. In Jesus we pray. Amen. 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 Hey, Ronan, how about that? Can I give you a little? There you go, man. Thanks. God bless you guys. We're going to sing two songs, and I'm going to come back up. Is that right? And when I come back, we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. Did everybody get elements? If you didn't, we're going to have someone walk through the aisle in just a minute and make sure everybody has some elements. And then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together, all right? As parents often are wanting to know, when is it okay for my child to participate in the Lord's Supper? My guidance to you is this. When you know that they've asked Jesus as Savior and Lord to come into life, they can take the Lord's Supper with you. If they haven't done that, involve them in the process this morning. Talk with them. Encourage them. Let them know what's happening, okay? Just involve them in this process. And if this is their first time, they've asked Jesus to be Savior and Lord of their life, walk them through the process and share it with them. Amen? Amen. All right, let's lead us.
Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out of me. Your love never fails and never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up and never runs out on me. And on it goes.
We pour out our praises, your breath.
For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he's betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I encourage you to take the top part out. Take out the wafer and hold it in your hand. Pray with me. This morning, Father God, I stand here. And I have a reverence before you. I want to cautiously come before you in this moment. As I stand here, I'm reminded of the weakness of my body. The waffling of my mind and my temperament. The sad inability to run away from things that I should run away from. And the inability to say and do and walk in ways that I know and my soul knows that I should. As I stand here in worship this morning, I'm reminded of my brokenness. And also, you asked me to remember that you allowed your body to be broken for me. And then you took that bread on that night and you broke it and you said that you stood in my place. So thank you for allowing your life to be broken because of my own. Take and eat. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Take and peel back that next layer. And pray with me. So I stand here today, not only recognizing the brokenness and the penalty that you paid on the cross, but I'm also reminded today of another truth, that what you did on the cross, it is there that you provided a way for someone like me with such brokenness to be healed and restored completely by faith in you. And I thank you today that on that day, on that cross, when your blood spilled, it spilled so that now it could run through my life. That from the inside out, I'm redeemed. And you are redeeming my entire life. You continue to work this work of redemption until it's finally completed on my last breath here and my first breath in eternity. Thank you for giving me new life. Say that to him. Thank you for giving me new life. Take and drink. We are men and women of faith. Today we remember, Jesus, what you have done and how you continue to live out your heart through us. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing one more song. Is that right? Join us as we sing one more song.
Draw me close to you. Hear you say that I'm desire. And no one else will do. Cause nothing else can take you. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way to bring me back to you.
Father, it has been a fantastic time this morning to be reminded of your nearness and reminded of the supremacy and the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Things get so blurry in this old world. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday get so hard on the soul. We know that you're near us. You're near us even when we don't want you to be near us. We know you're near us. And there's no special mountain we can climb to get closer. There's no special building we can walk into. But we have gathered here today as men and women who are longing for you to reignite our faith. Remind us again that you're near. Remind us again of your mission, your heart, your purpose, and may we live it out brilliantly and brightly in the days to come. I'm so grateful for the young men and women who are with us this morning. I pray that this was impactful. Maybe if there aren't is not immediate fruit, I pray, God, for fruit in the long haul, great fruit, 30, 60, 100 times as much. In Jesus we pray, amen, amen, amen. Be seated and... little people, if you want to head out, you're more than welcome. We have some people lining up already. And I like applause. Let's applaud the kids. I'm big fans. Got some fantastic little men and women here. So guys, thanks for hanging out with us. Everybody else, I want to encourage you to find your Bible. So if you're with us for the first time, we want to thank you. If you're with us here this morning or in live stream, we want you to find your Bible. We spend a lot of time in Scripture together on Sundays, and we're in the book of 1 John. So we're walking carefully through this little book in the end of the New Testament, and we're going to spend quite a bit more time. We're going to finish this series today, but we're still going to be in the book of 1 John. Through right after Easter. So we're going to spend some time there. So grab a Bible, have it open. I also want to remind you, when you came into the building here, you got a connection card. Please fill it out. At the very end of the service, I'm going to remind people to remember offering as part of worship. Let that connection card be part of your offering. So there may be some things that you need prayer for. We have people that want to pray with you this week. Online, there's a connection card online. Please use that. And you can also use the YouVersion app, everybody. So if you want to follow along, there's notes. If you have the YouVersion Bible app on your phone, you just go down the bottom right-hand side, click those little three lines, pull up events, and look for Discovery Community Church. You'll find notes for everything we're going to be talking about today. So, all right, there it is. There's all the nitty-gritty. I'm excited to jump in. I think, like many of you here, I love God's Word. It is transformative to me, and I'm excited today to share with you some things today. I'm calling today Finishing Well, and so our whole month has been about simple tools, but today as we close out this month on simple tools to revive our faith, I want to talk about how to finish well, how to end well, and if you've been around Discovery, this is something we've talked about a few times in the past, and this is a theme, I think, in 1 John. I think it's one of the things that weighs heavy on John, the writer of this little letter. And so I'm going to read just four verses this morning. 1 John chapter 2, verses 22 through 25. And I think you'll see some of this really clear in what John shares with us. John says this. He says, "Who's the liar? It's whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you." You hear the longevity? You hear the finishing well? He says, "As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life." Here's what I want to say this morning, real clear before we get started. There is a fantastic future ahead. There wasn't one amen. You're in the right place this morning. There's a fantastic future ahead. Here's the two themes that John's writing about. He says, "Listen, I want you to know that in the days ahead, there's an opportunity for you to know and experience the intimacy of the Father like never before in your life. This is God's design for you. God's design for you is not for you to get colder and older. His design for you is to grow more close and more on fire and more near to the heart of God. It's God's heart for you to grow in intimacy with God. And second, that intimacy will culminate in an eternal life with him." John also wrote the biography of Jesus. We call it the Gospel of John. And John, I mean, there's so many things that must have been floating around John's mind as he's writing this, but I think of John 17:3, part of Jesus' last and final prayer before the cross. In John 17:3, Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." This is what life is. Life is about growing closer each and every day of your life and it culminating with an eternity in heaven with God. That's God's heartbeat for you. It's to finish well. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people don't. And they don't finish well because somehow God is not able or the gospel is not capable of helping you and I finish well. We don't finish well because we have this propensity or this habit to add. So some of you write the word add down. We have this propensity in our life to add. And as we add things, we sometimes cover the beautiful simplicity that's necessary to thrive. I'll explain a little bit by telling you a little story that happened about 2 weeks ago. It was a Saturday, And I don't know how your Saturdays go, but I plan for a fun, restful day. I try not to do anything else but just rest. But inevitably, you wake up and there are little honey do lists, and we have an argument. I remind her that, hey, we try to Sabbath, and I shouldn't have things to do. I don't know how your Saturdays go, but it seems this day of rest seems to get a little bit tense. And so I said, forget it. I'll go out, and I'll do all the stuff. And so I went and was running errands, okay? So as I'm running errands all through Tacoma, I get a text. I look down at my phone, and added to my list are three items we picked up from the grocery store. I'm like, I'll get to it, right? And so I said yes, and I ran my errands, and then I pulled into Fred Meyer. As I'm going into Fred Meyer to get these three items, I'm walking through the double doors, and I had this little thought. Should I get a cart? It's just three items. I can carry them. But I really like a cart. So I grabbed a cart. After I grabbed the cart, I walked in just a few steps, and there was a sale. And a little further, there's a shelf that says clearance. And then there's like a manager special in the meat department. Anybody? And then all of a sudden, there's buy four, get the fifth one free. And I begin to just pile things into the cart. And as the cart is getting full and I'm taking all this time, I'm back by the eggs in the back. I still haven't gotten my three things. And all of a sudden, my phone's going off in my pocket. And I'm like, oh, she's buying me more things. And so I pull out the phone and I open up the text. It just says this, stop. Like, what? Second text says this, we only need three things. I'm looking around, like, are there cameras in the eggs? She's like, we only need three things. I went shopping. I'm going to go shopping in a couple days. She says, watch this. She says, you will never come home if you don't stop. So now, I've told you a little bit, let you know my life. I'm a little snarky. So I got snarky. I'm like, don't tell me what to do. There's a manager special, right? And so, anyway, but then I'm like, I'm freaked out going through Fred Meyer. I'm like, is she tracking me? I think she's on live stream right now because she wasn't well this morning, but I'm pretty sure you're tracking me. Okay. And I come home and I bring all my bags of groceries in, and then I had a conversation. I'm like, what's the deal? Are you tracking me? Or did you send someone out? She says, no. I know you. Watch this. And she says, you always add. That's what I do. It's like I take something simple and I make it difficult. I make it complex. Now, you might not do the same with Fred Meyer. Some of you may hate Fred Meyer. You're like, I'm getting three things. I'm getting out. All right. But I think we do that in all of our areas of life. And I think, follow me here. I think we do this in our faith relationship with God. I think what starts out simple and beautiful and redemptive, this new birth and new life in Jesus, we begin to add to it learnings, expectations, political opinions, insights, and we begin to add things so much so that it begins to disrupt our faith relationship. I've noticed in the church that very rarely do people in the church fight about who Jesus is. People in the church fight and separate over all the things that we add on. Amen? Very rarely does anybody say fight and disagree in the church. Very rarely are churches separated over the issue of Jesus, the cross, the empty tomb. We are separated over all these things we add. Very rarely does anybody walk away from their faith because of Jesus. They walk away from the faith because of expectations that they added in and covered the saving nature and story of the gospel in their life. Amen? It is so important for you and I to finish well by holding on to the simplicity of Christ. That's what John is calling us back to in the book of 1 John. And I think one of the reasons he's doing this is because John had an incredible encounter with Jesus that shaped him for the rest of his life. So I'm going to take us from 1 John to Matthew 17 for just a moment. I want you to have a glimpse into something that transformed John. Matthew records it. And in Matthew 17, he records this moment where John, two other guys, one was his brother, one was a guy named Peter, and Jesus, a total of four guys, go up onto a mountain. It says Jesus took them, Peter and James and his brother John, and he led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured. He was changed before their very eyes. His face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, watch this, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. This is an incredible spiritual moment. Would you agree? Unlike anything else, okay? So behold, it says, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. And then watch this, verse 4, Peter responds and says to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here, amen? This is so sweet. He says, if you want, I will make or build three tabernacles here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground and were terrified. And then Jesus came to them and touched them and said, get up. And do not be afraid. Verse 8, they raised their eyes, and then they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. John had an encounter where he recognized the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. I'd like you to write that down in your notes somewhere. John had a moment in his life where he sealed the deal. He did not just have a spiritual encounter. Once and for all, he recognized that Jesus is supreme above all things and he is absolutely sufficient. Let's walk quickly back through the story. They go to this mountain, and there they watch Jesus be transfigured. He changes. He's radiating white. And while he's radiating the white, all of a sudden, Elijah and Moses. Now, this is not just happenstance that these two ancient figures show up, because these two figures represent two important arms in religion. One, Moses is the law, and Elijah is the prophets. So now you have the law, the prophets, and Jesus. And Peter's like, whoa, I get it. It's way more complicated than I ever thought. We're going to weave together the law and the prophets and you, Jesus. In fact, I'm going to devote my life to building these temples on equal standing and create some balance. This is going to be so amazing. And at that very moment when Peter had this fantastic idea, all of a sudden what happens? A cloud overshadows them. And a heavenly voice rumbles. It is so otherworldly that they fall on their face in fear. And they hear one voice from heaven say this. This is my son, Jesus. Simply listen to him. He is supreme above all things, even the law and the prophets. Jesus is above all things. And what is so miraculous? I don't know if you caught this. I love the way Matthew says this. He says, as soon as he says this, it gets quiet. And Jesus comes and taps him on the shoulder, and they look up. And when they look up, they only see Jesus. I'll read it again. Now the passage, it says, they look up and they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. And that is all that they need. John is trying to remind us that there is nothing greater in your life and world. There is nothing more important. There is nothing more significant. There's nothing that even comes close to Jesus himself. And furthermore, he is absolutely enough. He is enough when everybody has left you. He's enough when everything has failed. He's enough when you don't know if you'll make it to the end of the month. He is absolutely enough. And for you and I to finish well in this journey, we have to daily remind ourselves of the sufficiency and supremacy of Christ. Amen? For you and I to finish well, we have to occasionally remove things from the cart. Go back to the beginning and say, Jesus, you are all I need. Jesus, you're all I want. It is in you that all I ever need. Isn't that cool? We just sang that. Well, how do you keep that warm? I love tools. I've been talking all month about tools. So in the next couple of minutes, I'm going to go quickly. I could talk probably an hour today on this, but I want to share with you three tools to keep your life simply focused on the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. And the first one is to train until the very end. Would you say that with me? Train until the very end. Paul writes this in Galatians 6. He says, let's not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The writer of Hebrews says this, let's hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up, meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The New Testament is filled with encouragements to train until the very last day. You and I never outgrow the simple tools that God has given us to keep Jesus at the center of our life. This month we've been talking about believing, belonging, knowing, doing. Believing, saying yes to Jesus. Belonging, living in community, not just showing up at a church and checking off, but living in community. Knowing, waking up each day and drinking deeply of his word and in prayer, and doing, serving in his mission, you will never outgrow this. It is an incredible myth that is so deadly that you've gotten to a place that you no longer need that anymore. If you're still breathing, he is absolutely not done with you. Amen? So train. Keep walking out the tools until the very last and final day. I'd love to talk about that more, but I promise to be brief. But let's go to the second one. Tell the story. How do you finish well? You keep telling the story. Some of you have forgotten what God did when he saved you. Some of you have forgotten how much you needed his saving hand, and you've forgotten because you stopped telling the story. Listen to what David says. David says, I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends or tells your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. David says, I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. David says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep telling the story of God. I'm going to tell it to God in worship. I'm going to tell it to the people in the church, and I'm going to tell it to my neighbors. I'm going to tell it over and over and over again, and it keeps it alive in me. Quite a few years ago, around 150 years, so that's been a little while, Catherine, or Kate Hankey, was in her mid-30s. She had devoted her life to missions. Some of you might be familiar with William Wilberforce, anybody? She was part of the same movement, same group, who was committed not only to Christ, but ending things like this slave trade. She had devoted her life first to doing that and sharing the gospel in England, and eventually she got an opportunity to become a missionary in Africa, and she took it. Devoted her life to Jesus, she heads to Africa. While she's in Africa as a missionary, she becomes deathly ill. They can't do anything for her, and they ship her back to England. She comes back to England. If you've ever been in a situation like this, she comes back to England broken physically and emotionally. Everything that she had expected and hoped and dreamed for is gone, and it looks like her life is going to end. She ends up laying in a bed for months and months and months on end. In the middle of this time, she decides to begin writing. In the middle of this time where she's laying in her bed and her future appears to be over, she begins writing an epic poem. I call it epic because it has 100 stanzas. The title of the poem is this: I love to tell the story. A few years later, somebody put it to music, and it has become a hymn that men and women have sung for 150 years. Let me read you the first stanza. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. Listen to this. And it satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. And maybe if you grew up in church singing the hymn, you know the chorus. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Sick, unable to do anything, she writes this poem about the sufficiency and supremacy of Christ and just telling his story. Now, the good news for her, after quite a few months of laying there in bed, her health is restored. And she lives into her 70s as a single lady sharing the gospel, to tell the story over and over and over again. Do you want to finish well? Tell the story. Tell the story of God's goodness in your life. Tell it to God. Tell it to the church. Tell it to neighbors. And the last one is this: take somebody with you. There is nothing that reignites the work and movement of God in a person, a man or woman, like devoting your life to helping somebody else grow deep in their walk. In fact, it's why Jesus has saved you. Can I say that again? In fact, it's why Jesus has saved you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. So you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the very ends of the earth. Boy, as Americans, we like to imagine that it's all done for us so we can simply enjoy the power and work of the Holy Spirit. God says, I did this so that you could be my witnesses, so that you could take someone with you. You never outgrow that call and that opportunity. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and watch the last of this. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You hear, Jesus wants you to finish well. And if you would devote yourself to taking someone along with you, you would experience the intimate power and presence of Jesus until your very last and final day. God wants you to finish well. That's why John writes, the way to finish well is to daily be reminded of the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ, that he is all that we need. That's why the church is here. It's our message. It's our gift to the city of Tacoma. We do good things because we love people. We do good things because Jesus loves people. But we are here to proclaim that Jesus is the answer. And if you and I want to burn brightly, individually and collectively as a church, we must remember every day the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. He is absolutely enough. I'm going to lead us in a moment of prayer, and then we're going to close with a song. Maybe you have added some things, and maybe today is a day where you can remove some things from the cart. Maybe you could take the first step by just praying with me. Would you just bow with me for a moment? Father, I look forward with so much hope of what you're doing in this church. We've had a restart here at Lincoln. We're looking forward to you growing and multiplying your church here in Lincoln, East Tacoma, Central Tacoma, West and North Tacoma, Parkland, Spanaway, Puyallup, South Hill, Sumner. We could go on and on. We're looking and longing for you to do an incredible work in our day and our hour. John reminds us that that work that we long for begins when we get back to the simplicity of remembering the supremacy and sufficiency of Christ. For some of us, we have added things. We've added expectations. We've added insights. We've added philosophy and political opinion, and we've elevated those things so high that the gospel has become muddy, murky, and unclear. Jesus, today, we want to look up and see no one else but you alone. If you want, you could pray a prayer like this morning. God, I have things have become murky for me. I want a fresh start today. Jesus, you are enough. Can you say that? If you're like me and so many other people, there are some things that have been just hurting you. There's been unknowns. You feel alone. You feel frustrated. But can you in faith this morning just say with me, Jesus, you are enough. I give my spouse to you. I give my future to you. I give my career, my job. I give the uncertainty about tomorrow in your hands. Jesus, you are enough. Would you say it one more time? Jesus, you are enough. We thank you for a few minutes in your word, and it's a privilege to drink deeply from the life of people who gave so much. It's my prayer that as we walk out of here today, that we would live brilliantly and bright for you and your kingdom. In Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing one more song. I will come up and I'm going to say a couple things to remind you of a few things just to dismiss us. But while we're singing this last song, some of you can stand. You may want to pray about some stuff. So stay seated if you want. At the end of the song, I'll come back up. It's up to you. are so grateful for a few moments a day to be reminded that there are other things. There are greater and grander things. Not just a little bit. Jesus, you are supreme over all things, and you are absolutely sufficient. You are more than enough. I pray that individually, every man, woman, and child in this room today would finish well. And I pray that as a church, together, collectively, we would finish well, that there'd be an incredible legacy of faith. May it be so in Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for sharing your Sunday morning.
If you become a part of this family and you say, man, this is my home, then you can join with us right now. Let that connection card. So if you didn't fill it out yet, take a second right now. Just put your name and maybe a way to contact you. Put that on the connection card. Drop that in the box. Now, one of the two little things. One, if you want a macaron, you want to hear about small groups, go right over there. If you want to hang out with me for a little bit, we got a little guest reception, go right over there. Now, I'm going to shake hands over here for just a few minutes. But then I'm going to be over here. So we'd love to have you come hang out with us a little bit. That's it. God bless. Get out of here. Thank you.